You might not think of McDonald's and Marriott as small businesses, but they're still eligible for the coronavirus small business loan program.
You know, the argument of the big restaurant chains, the big company-owned restaurant chains, is they're like, you know, the corner diner. They have employees in locations, and those employees will get laid off. The counter-argument is these are big companies with lots of revenue.
Plus, answers to some common questions about face masks, who needs them, how well they work, and more.
You can't have a false sense of security that just if you have a mask, you're going to be protected.
It's Monday, April 6th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Here's what's news. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson's condition has worsened and he's been moved into the intensive care unit at a London hospital. Johnson was diagnosed with COVID-19 and put into isolation 10 days ago, but he's been struggling to recover and was admitted to the hospital on Sunday. An official said Johnson remained conscious and the move to the ICU was a precautionary step. Johnson has asked Foreign Secretary Dominic Raab to act as a deputy for him. Elsewhere in Europe, strict containment measures appear to be helping slow the spread of the disease. Italy and Spain are each reporting fewer confirmed cases and deaths. Here in the U.S., the death toll from the coronavirus has now surpassed 10,000. Officials are predicting that this week will be America's most difficult, with a number of infections in some of the worst-hit cities, including New York, Detroit, and New Orleans, expected to peak in the coming days. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says the number of daily deaths has been effectively flat in the state for the past 2 days, suggesting that social distancing measures are working. But Cuomo said it's possible the state's crisis could be plateauing at a high level that's still too difficult for the state's healthcare system to manage.
This is an enemy that we have underestimated from day one, and we have paid the price dearly.
Non-essential businesses and schools in New York will remain closed at least through April 29th. Despite the U.S. entering what could be its toughest week, U.S. stocks rallied on Monday as investors grew optimistic that the pandemic could be contained sooner rather than later. The major indexes all gained more than 7%. The Dow rose more than 1,600 points, though it's still down more than 20% for the year. All 30 stocks in the index climbed, as did all 11 sectors in the S&P 500. Markets reporter Akane Otani has more.
A lot of investors believe that we are in the midst of a deep economic downturn that's going to be quite painful for a lot of people. So, you know, why the big moves? Well, traders like to remind people that it's really normal to see big moves to both the downside and the upside during these types of periods. We saw many of the stock market's biggest moves before this period, actually during the 2008 financial crisis. So it's quite normal to see this kind of trading action, especially when people are at their most nervous. And it's important to remember it doesn't necessarily reflect investors' fundamental expectations for the economy, which still look quite pessimistic at the moment.
And one more note, Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers has ordered a delay to the state's primary election until June, citing public safety concerns. State Republican leaders had been pushing him to move ahead with tomorrow's primary in spite of the pandemic and say they'll challenge the decision. A big part of the $2 trillion federal stimulus package is a $350 billion loan program for small businesses. And they began applying last Friday. The program is aimed at businesses with fewer than 500 employees. But the federal government has offered an exemption for restaurant and hotel chains, regardless of how many people they employ. Joining me now to explain is Wall Street Journal senior editor Bob Davis. So, Bob, big restaurants and hotel chains fought to be eligible for the small business loan program. How did that come about? Tell us what happened there in Washington.
Well, there was lobbying from the restaurant industry, the hotel industry, the franchisees industry. They worked through a number of lawmakers who are themselves McDonald's franchisees, or the families are. You know, the thinking was that the restaurant and hotel industry were decimated by this virus and needed a special response. I mean, that was the argument, and it went over well on the Hill.
When people think of big restaurant chains or big hotel chains, I think they may assume these are not the intended recipients of a small business loan program. But as you mentioned, many of these companies operate on a franchise model. We actually spoke with Dawn LaFrieda, who owns 90 Denny's franchises in 7 states. She's hopeful the loans will help, but she's also not sure how long they'll be able to carry her business.
They don't know yet how long it will take till we get our funding, probably around 30 days. So that's a long time to hang on with no business when you've already been shut down 2 weeks or so. And let me tell you this, before we were actually shut down, sales were already going south just because of the media. So long before we shut down, sales were trending downward.
Bob, is this similar to what you heard from restaurant owners, small business owners?
Yes, very similar. The loan program does provide for covering your payroll for 2 months and some rent and mortgage. I mean, that's all it does. I think when they put together the bill initially, the thought was 2 months would get you pretty much through the pandemic. Now it's not clear that it will. And also, I mean, it's great that employees will be paid, but it doesn't really assure the viability of the small business afterwards.
What about large restaurant owners and hotel chains that aren't franchise-based? What's their argument for needing relief from the federal government during this time? Because some people would argue that this is not the intended recipient, that it's really meant for owners of small businesses who can't rely on corporate money or reserves to make ends meet.
Right. I mean, you know, the argument of the big restaurant chains, the big company-owned restaurant chains is they're like, you know, the corner diner. They have employees in locations and those employees will get laid off. The counter argument is these are big companies with lots of revenue, presumably, you know, cash reserves. And, you know, not every small business loan or not small business loans oughtn't go to big companies, that there are federal programs for big companies and small businesses are a particularly hard-hit part of the economy.
What about for hotel chains? Do they make a similar argument there?
Yeah, it's entirely the same argument. You know, when you think of Marriott's, you think of a big, big company, it's generally franchised out. So a lot of the hotel companies that you think about are, you know, individual franchisees, and, you know, then they have a number of locations, and clearly the hotel industry has got walloped. Again, the issue is not for these smaller companies that have a few franchises, but for the larger one. Well, what about a company-owned hotel chain where, you know, they've made millions of dollars, you know, last year and the year before that and the year before that? Well, how come they don't have enough cash reserves to carry their own employees through a couple of months of down business?
Bob, there's been a lot of talk about when things will go back to normal or a new normal and what that might look like. Again, I want to play a clip from Dawn, who wonders if consumer habits will then change.
Having been through 9/11 and the financial crisis of 2008, there's trends that happen. So when people lose money in the stock market or when you lose part of your retirement account, people become afraid to spend. They feel that, oh man, we have to cut back. We just lost, you know, half of what we'd saved for our future. And so they scale down. They're still going to go out to eat, but can they go somewhere where they don't have to leave a 20% tip? Does the Denny's user go to McDonald's? You know, what practices and habits start changing? And they do change.
What did you hear from small business owners about what happens once we reach the recovery stage from this pandemic, when we come down from the apex?
I think the franchisees, the companies, the restaurants, the hotels are in a panic, right? I mean, it is, yeah, we'll be done with the pandemic, but what does being done with the pandemic mean? What happens if it comes back? You know, why would people who have to be worried about losing their job, why would they spend money going out to eat, going on vacations? It's going to be, you know, a difficult build back to get to whatever normal is. This is way different than 9/11, which was a kind of momentary or several week or month kind of panic that was largely in a couple of, you know, big metropolitan areas. I mean, this is something that's swept across the entire globe, and the recovery from it is very uncertain. We don't know how people's attitudes will change, or will they go back to sort of normal, you know, within, I don't know, a year or so.
That's Wall Street Journal senior editor Bob Davis. Bob, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you.
We'll have a full interview with Dawn LaFrieda talking about how she's managing her businesses and helping her employees through this crisis in our next episode of the Wall Street Journal's Secrets of Wealthy Women podcast. You can find that wherever you get your podcasts. For the past few weeks, we've been asking you to call in with your questions about the coronavirus. One topic you've brought up more than almost any other is face masks. So we asked a specialist, Alexi Wagner, an emergency physician at Stanford University. So Alexi, for an average person going out and about in the world, how effective is wearing a mask?
So this is an important question. I would say the effectiveness of wearing a mask is twofold. There, you can't have a false sense of security that just if you have a mask, you're going to be protected. And the same thing also goes for rubber gloves. You still need to be very careful about washing your hands before touching your face, washing your hands before and after touching the mask. There have been studies that have shown that people who wear masks actually touch their face more often as they readjust. And remember, if there are viral particles being filtered by whatever mask you're wearing, those particles then are now on the surface of the mask. And so you have to be very careful about having extra hygiene and still washing your hands, using alcohol sanitizer as needed.
Would you say the same is true for the N95 masks that we see medical workers using?
So this is a big area of debate right now about reusing masks. Right now, there's huge variation across health systems. A lot of it has to do with what their supply is. So if they're very low supply, they're going to be pushing the limits on what's acceptable and safe for the reuse of these masks. It is looking like there are some very early studies showing that you may be able to clean and sanitize N95 masks. But remember, these masks were not originally designed for reuse and sanitization. They are disposable masks. They were designed for one patient, one interaction, and then to be thrown out and replaced.
What about people who might be caring for a person who has or who might have the coronavirus in their own home?
So in those cases, if you have a loved one who is known COVID positive or has symptoms suggestive of COVID, we are recommending that that patient and the caregivers do wear a mask if there's any interaction, being very careful about not sharing any surfaces, try to isolate that individual to their own bathroom, and then be very vigilant about the hand hygiene, alcohol-based hand sanitizer, soap. The good news, though, is that this virus is a lipid-based virus, and so it's very susceptible to warm water, soap, and then alcohol sanitizers that are commercially available.
That's Dr. Alexi Wagner, an emergency physician at Stanford University. Do you have questions about the coronavirus? Call us at 315-992-8298 and leave us a voicemail with your question. That number is also in our show description. As we continue to cover the pandemic, we'll be bringing on our reporters and experts to answer as many of your questions as we can. And that's what's news for this Monday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow in both the morning and the afternoon. If you like our show, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.